Well, I surprised myself. I didn't think I'd do another experiment, but I did my part during the break, and I hope you did too. We'll see how it goes over the next day or so, the next few days. I expect there will be some giant sighting somewhere, if not in several areas. We're in the middle of a pretty good time for it anyway, but that much intent has got to produce something. We'll see. It may come. We have no way of knowing timelines, whether they really want to do it or not, but we certainly gave them the intent. And for those of you that participated with me, thank you. Don't stop. Keep it up. In the next hour or so, just keep blasting away intent, simply for them to show themselves. And as James mentioned, get in as good a mood as you can. I called up, you know what I called up? It's kind of interesting, actually. One of the joyous moments that I had in my life was the very brief but joyous OBE I had in Paris. And so I kind of called that to mind, remembered as much of it as I could, and sort of combined that with an intent to see something in our skies, for something to appear in our skies. And I hope you will do the very same, and we'll take a look in the next couple of days and see what happens. In a moment, we're going to open the lines for James Gilliland and see what you have to say. I'm Art Bell. Frankly, this was just too good to not do. I've had so many guests who have said that the appearance of these craft appears to be connected with intent. And as you know, intent is something that has fascinated me. Mass consciousness has fascinated me now for years. So we're going to watch the next couple of days very carefully. I'm already getting fast blasts that, well, I don't know what you make out of them. Helen in Kaiser, Oregon said, overcast, but I went outside, and yes, a round light was circling around the sky above my house. Happy to be part of it. Barry in Vancouver, intent experiment. Two craft sighted over Vancouver, B.C. at 1:05 a.m. Bright white lights moving north to south, 20 degrees above the eastern sky, and many more like that. But I don't know, James. We'll have to see what comes of it. We'll watch the next couple of days very, very carefully and see what happens.
I think you're going to get flooded.
Well, I hope so. I really hope so. I mean, if it is really intent, then we're going to find out. No question about it. Listen, we got a lot of calls for you, so what do you say?
Oh, it sounds great.
Here it comes. Kent in Michigan, you are on with James Gilliland.
Yes, Art, it's a pleasure to talk to you. Hey,
happy to have you.
I found your show by accident about 2 weeks ago, and I haven't missed one since. Anyway,
you.
I got a question for James.
Yes.
I was about 8, 9 years old. This would have been back in about 77, but we were out in the backyard playing, and I seen what I believe was a UFO. It was like a blue and a red oval lights that were slowly spinning. And it just kind of hovered there going real slow. And we saw it for about 15 minutes or so, and then it just shot up and disappeared. Have you seen anything like that?
Pretty much on a regular basis here. We see that
really,
quite often.
Same kind?
Yeah, we do. We see a lot of different types. We've seen blue ones, purple ones, pink ones, green ones, you know, giant cylinders. We've seen triangles. We've got three or four of the massive triangle ships on film. Actually, I know, Art, you had one of those sightings at least once.
I certainly did.
But we've got some really good footage of these ships, and people are trying to say that they're NOS satellites, that they're three satellites tethered together. But what we've
right.
seen here, there's no way it could be, because it turned around and went back the other way.
Yeah, they tried to tell me it was swamp gas. But
yeah, that was J. Allen Hynek's favorite.
Yep.
Favorite.
Okay, Kent, thank you very much. Listen, John and Lisa, and they give their last name in Sailorsburg, Pennsylvania, say, my wife and I are regular listeners. We took part in your experiment. We went outside, and we saw two lights in the sky, just incredible. These are big white lights. Glad to be a part of this. Now, these are beginning to flood in, and I only, of course, you know, I only get samples, but I wonder what we've done here. Interesting. All right, I believe it's Solomon in Vancouver, B.C. Oh, Vancouver, you're on with James.
How are you doing, Art and James?
As a matter of fact, I'm standing outside involved in the experiment, and I know that it's valid because 3 weeks ago, I had a major vision that people all over the world were looking skywards, and there was all type of apparitions and UFO phenomenon taking place, but it had to do with the second coming of the Sacred Heart of Jesus Christ, and I believe that very, very firmly. Also, Art, I was on with you about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and I had made the prediction that your wife was going to have a baby girl. And then 2 or 3 weeks later, I heard you on the air talking about the ultrasound, and congratulations on the young lady. A question I wanted to ask James. James.
Yes.
I've had contact since I was 3 years old. I've had contact with at least 24 different type of species.
Mm-hmm.
Three nights ago, here in Vancouver, as I'm standing outside, I was after I finished my meditation, intuitively I was told to come outside, and this beautiful white lotus light appeared over English Bay heading towards Vancouver. And I was listening to Art when he said just a few minutes ago the individual had fast blasted him from Vancouver. I saw those two lights going across the heavens. One question I wanted to ask you. I speak an extraterrestrial language. Do you speak that? And number two, would you let
me... Wait. Solomon?
Yes.
If you speak an extraterrestrial language, say something.
All right, I will. And I want your listeners to concentrate on this because every time I do it, everybody sees something different. But I'll do
Proceed.
It now.
Proceed. Proceed.
Have you ever heard that before?
I have not, Solomon, and I am duly impressed. Have you, James, heard anything like that ever before?
You know, actually, I hate to admit it, but I have.
You have?
I try to stay grounded with all this, but I have words like that coming into my head. I have no idea what they mean, but they come with a feeling. And while he was speaking, I was getting some chills down my back.
Yeah, I have no idea. You know, that was out of the blue. I decided to ask him to say something, and, obviously... He was prepared, and it came out sounding not like any language I know, but sounding very specific and wow.
You know, most people just categorize this, you know, in the nutcase category, but, you know, unless you're sensitive and you have the inner sensitivity to spiritually discern, you know, some of these things, and I'm one of them. You know, people do stuff like this to me all the time. I go, well, that's really nice. Have a great day. But, you know, I definitely felt an energy and a connection with that. And sometimes I hear that, but mostly my communication is thought to thought. And, I get the information very clearly. But there is this strange language, very, very similar to what he was talking
Whatever he did,
about.
It was impressive, James. All right, William in Kansas City, you're on the air with James.
Excellent. Hey, James, how you doing?
Doing great.
Hey, I got a quick sighting for you. I was in the Navy, and I'm a quartermaster. Are you familiar with that?
Yes, huh?
Okay, I was taking readings. It was late one night. We were off the coast of Vieques. Are you familiar with that?
No, I'm not.
It's that little island off of Puerto Rico that the military uses as a targeting range.
There's a lot of sightings there.
Yeah. Hey, I tell you what. We were about 25 miles just west of Vieques Island. And it was late. It was about 3 in the morning, and I was on watch. And, of course, quartermaster stand the bridge, and there was a throbbing, it looked like to me, a throbbing blue light underneath the water. It was about a mile away, I guess. And
under the water.
Under the water. And it appeared to pulse in and out. I thought it was a buoy at first, and the closer we got to it, we noticed that it was underwater. And I asked the officer of the deck if there was any kind of submarine contacts, if there was anything under the water there. Nothing was on our charts, and it was very deep water there. And the obstetrician kind of freaked out about it a little bit. he just kind of shrugged it off. I couldn't even believe it. He was like, you know, he had talked about it for a second with me, but then he just disappeared, went inside the the top of the ship there. And I just sat there and watched it for a little while, and the watch that was there with me was watching it too. And I got on the ICAS. Are you familiar with that? It's like a heat sensing device. It's for watches. When people fall into the water, man overboard, we can find them really quick, or anything else that delivers heat. And I took a look at what it was underwater there, and it must have been about a half a mile away now. And I could tell that there was some kind of weird disc shape underneath the water. It just the very, very faint outline of it. There was some kind of heat signature it was giving off. And then it appeared to shoot some kind of lightning bolt underwater out of where it was. And the lightning bolt seemed to go underwater and light up these little orbs all around the ship. It was very strange. And they were still pretty far away. And this blue light underwater just kind of faded out, disappeared. But these other little orbs came out of the water. They were all different colors, red and blue and yellow. And then I logged it down in the book. I just, you know, I had to write something about it down. And all at once, they just disappeared. It was very, very strange. I've never seen anything like that before, and I knew
How was your log entry received?
I reported exactly what it was. A strange thing about that, a couple years later, I went back through the log books to find it, and I couldn't find that page.
All right. Well, kind of like the Roswell stuff, that sort of thing has a way of disappearing. This experiment is not over yet. We're going to try the same thing at the bottom of the hour, and then we're going to watch the next few days ahead of us, not only tonight, but the next few days ahead, and we're going to see what happens. And what I'm asking is that as many of you who listen to me and as many of you who believe that there really is something to all of this and that intent really does mean something, and I believe that it does. I surely believe that. I want you at the bottom of the hour to do as you did at the top of the hour and just blast out intent to show themselves in our sky. Now, getting in a good mood and remembering a great a time in your life, putting yourself in an excellent mood is a good idea. But most of all, I want you to blast out intent to show themselves in our skies, and we'll see what happens. Michael in Norfolk, Virginia, you're on the air with James.
Yes, thank you. I'm against this for the following reason. I don't think a reasonable person puts out a message on the internet telling strangers to stop by his house and fill his living room and his bedrooms and so forth. And in the same sense, this is our earthly home, our planetary home. And to put out on the internet of the universe an unspecific invitation to whoever's out there to come on in and make themselves at home is very, very unwise.
You're worried about it, huh?
Well, it's just completely unwise. And I'll tell you, there's another aspect to this. We are told in history that there is one man in history who has demonstrated himself as a mediator between earthlings and heavenly beings, and he is the Messiah of Israel. And if we want intervention, we should ask for that intervention to come in his name, through him, and by him, and not by any other.
Well, we didn't specify any intermediary, Michael. We just asked that we get a show in our skies. And I have this kind of odd feeling that we're going to get it. And I don't think that it's going to be anything all that awful. I think it's just, in fact, what it really already is a bunch of sightings. We're getting all kinds of sightings. So we'll see. We'll see as the next couple of days go on. In Manhattan, Kansas, it's Jeff for James.
Hey, guys. I just want to let you know, first of all, it's about 20 degrees here. but I went out, my wife and I, and we had some pretty powerful halogen lights. And I got out there first, and for some reason, a large yellowish white light caught my eye. And I flashed light at it a couple times and hollered at my wife. She walked out the door, and this blue plasma color ball shot right over the top of our heads and over our house.
Really?
It was
really
crazy. Yeah.
You're not kidding.
No, I'm not kidding at all.
Wait a minute.
It didn't look like the size of a bowling ball, but it looked like it was only 15 or 20 feet up.
Is your wife available?
Yeah.
Put her on.
Okay, hang on.
You know, all right, they've done that here quite a bit.
Yeah, well, I've got to hear this.
Yeah.
He wants to talk to you.
I'll tell you a story afterwards about that.
All right.
Here, she's in the other room listening to the radio here.
Yeah, that's all right.
Hello.
Hi, and what's your first name?
Shauna.
Shauna. Shauna, yeah. you went out with your husband, and you saw what?
He said he saw something. He yelled at me to come out, and just bright flash, right streaked right over the house.
And you saw it as well?
Yeah, yeah. And I don't, you know, I don't know if it can ask him if, you know, like a falling star or a shooting star or something like that could actually be, you know, could have been a UFO. I don't know. It was pretty amazing.
What did it look like to you, Shauna?
Just a bright white flash.
Moving streak. Or just
it, yeah, moving. It looked like, I mean, it went so fast, it looked kind of like a falling star.
Really?
But I don't know.
All right, Shauna. I want to thank you and your husband. It's really great to have a couple of people on saying the same thing, in an instance like this.
Well, we listen all the time, and this was just, it was pretty amazing.
This is amazing. Shauna,
all right.
Thank you. I tell you what. No, hold on. Put your husband back on.
Okay.
It sounds like he saw just a little bit more than Shauna, but Shauna verifies what he saw. So let's get him back on the line. And get ready, because we're going to continue. Hi there.
Hi.
All right, so you apparently saw the first part of this, or in other words, there was enough time for you to call your wife, and she saw the same thing, or what?
The initial thing I saw was huge up in the sky, like it could have been a planet or something. And I flashed my light at it twice and hollered at her, and within 3 or 4 seconds, that bluish-colored plasma ball shot right over the top of our heads. And the property we own is about 800 feet above the valley surrounding.
All right, buddy, I've got a split. I am sufficiently impressed. All right, we're coming on another break right now. So here's what I want everybody to do. We're not done. This is one of our serious experiments. It's been years since I've done one. Please take a moment. Remember a joyous moment in your life, and then combine it with all the intent you've got in your mind and soul for something to show itself in our skies. And if you want, go take a look. Intent is focused energy, and we're sending it out right now. With millions of you hanging on it, I'm Art Bell. Here I am. Well, the reports I'm getting are amazing enough now. We'll have to wait and see. This is the power of intent is something that we have that is separate from all else. It's separate from governments. It's separate from the power they have. It's separate from, well, everything. It is a power unto itself, and I firmly believe that it's real. Focused intent for something to show in our skies. We'll watch the next few days very carefully, but the reports coming in are amazing now. Yes, I did get one. Let's see. I saw one here. Here it is. they want Dave in Moore, Oklahoma, wants me to report that he saw nothing. But that's one out of about 50 so far. You know, only so many of these fast blasts can come through. But there, Dave, I reported that for you. For everybody else, we'll see how it goes as time goes on. It's been a lot of years since I've done one of these experiments, and it's not over yet. James Gilliland, back with you on the phones in a moment. Well, James, here's somebody calling us loons. The both of us, actually. You're a loon, and I'm a close second. Well, I've got a feeling that we're going to produce some results here. I don't know if they're going to happen right away, as many of these fast blasts would indicate, or if it'll be in the next couple of days. My experience with these experiments previously was that in an hour or two, generally, it started to produce results. Now, we'll see. Let's go back to the phones, and first-time caller line, Robert in Stockton, California. You're on with James.
Hi, James. Hi, Art. The first I wanted to say, Art, I commend you for doing this experiment. I've been praying for a long time that you would do this very experiment. And yes, us New Agey people, we do believe in the teachings of Jesus. Anyway, I have an experience. Last September, my wife, Charlotte, and I stayed at James's place.
Oh.
And we saw, probably 15 to 20 ships, you know, on average each night that we were there. And the last night that we were there, we had a wonderful night with James and his family, I would say, there. And then we went back to our campground, just my wife and I. And she went into the tent to read, and I laid there in my chair, and I did exactly the experiment we're doing tonight. I laid there with simple, focused intentions, and I thought exactly the way we're doing tonight. Suddenly, right above the ranch, a light flashed. And then it flashed again, and I had a little laser in my pocket. And I pulled the laser out, and I flashed the laser three times. The light flashed back three times. Well, needless to say, I got pretty excited at that point. So I called to my wife to get the camera. She came out there, and she handed me the camera, and she was watching. She saw the light flashing, too. I flashed again three times. It flashed back three times again. So I grabbed the camera, little instant camera, and she was watching the area up there, and I started snapping pictures of that area, and she started getting really excited because she said, whatever was up there flashed at exactly the moment that I was flashing the camera. And I got two very nice pictures of something up above the ranch there.
Problem, Robert, is that, as we discussed earlier, taking a photograph of a light, no matter how impressive it is to your eye, is never transformed well to a camera. I mean, you're taking a picture of a light against a very dark black velvet sky, basically, with the camera.
You're absolutely right.
So you get a picture of a light.
The only thing that I could say to that, Art, is that I don't care what anybody thinks. It was the experience that that I took home, that I felt that something connected with me. It felt my intention, and it tried to communicate back with me. And people can naysay all they want. I have that for my own. And my wife saw it herself with her very eyes. And I can't recommend this ranch more. James was a wonderful host. This is a great place to stay. If people are in doubt, they need to go visit. Take the opportunity. You know, Seth Shostak from SETI. Go to the ranch. Have a look for yourself. If you devote your life to researching UFOs, this should be the first place you should go.
Robert, I would love nothing more than to send Seth to the ranch, but you'd probably have to take him shackled. He doesn't really want to look into that sort of thing. And that's why, yes, this experiment makes sense to me. After all the experiments I did way back when were intent involved before it became fashionable to do so. And so so many people like James tell me over and over and over again that it is intent. And even when you go out with a flashlight or a laser or something else and shine it back at these things, and then they react in some way, that too is intent. It's just a little more active, that's all. So We're not done yet. At the end of the program, I'm going to ask everybody to once again spend several minutes in intense concentration trying to get something to appear in our skies. And
you know, Art, that's what it's all about. The last, was it Mark or Mike?
Robert.
Oh, it's Robert. I couldn't hear the name.
No. You may be talking about, Robert was the last one on. There was a Mike, and you were going to say something about the blue-colored flash that he saw.
Well, no, the one that just called, I remember
Robert.
Them.
Robert.
They had quite an experience, and they were blown away by it. But the whole important thing about this is personal experience. It's not a matter of trying to prove it to the world. It's the people who really want to have the experience, they come here, and it's theirs. They take it home with them, and that's the only way to do this. It's not a matter of trying to prove it to the disbelievers or the skeptics or the debunkers. People come here and they have their own personal experience, and it's real for them.
I know, and you can't, and there's no way that will be taken away from that person, as I had my very, very close-up sighting. People can doubt all they want. I know what I saw. Vince in Seattle, Washington, you're on with James.
Art, it's a pleasure. Number one, I'd like to say something to Art and then ask a question of James.
Sure.
Art, number one, I would like to see this experiment done again, but I would hope that you could do a live remote on a Saturday and Sunday night at the sanctuary and have people actually focus their attention on the sanctuary itself to see what might happen. I would think that would be very, very interesting.
Well, indeed. I'm sure it would.
You're welcome anytime, Art. George, too.
James, hi. My name is Vince. My son and I, we both went to the conference last August. I was the guy that wore the dark glasses. You have a beautiful picture of me on your website under the orbs.
Okay, great.
Orbs are everywhere around there. It's just a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm.
The question I have, though, James, is that I know that you'll be going with Brooks on this expedition to the North Pole later this year in September, October, I understand.
Really?
And now, are you going to have another conference there this summer prior to that expedition?
You know, we are. We're having another major conference July 6th through 8th. And actually, Brooks is going to be one of the speakers and quite a few others. We have a really good lineup.
Are you going to the North Pole, James?
You know, I haven't completely decided yet. They want me to go as kind of one of the people to, you know, tap into the beings to gain entrance. So I've been contemplated. I was invited to go. We'll see how it all turns out. A lot has to do with the funding that Brooks Agnew is trying to get together. He has a Russian ship. It's an icebreaker that has the ability to go all the way there. You know, it has the fuel capacity and everything else. But Dr. Sala was with Exopolitics is also involved. There's several other people that are all invited to go, and we'll just see how it pans out.
Okay, we'll see what happens. Tracy in Minnesota, you're on with James Gilliland. Hi.
Hi, Art. This is a definite honor. First of all, I just want to let you know that I did go outside, and it's really foggy out here in Minnesota, and so I was like, oh, I'm probably not going to see much. But what I did notice, and it wasn't anything very, very, like, definite, but it was, like, bright sprinkles in my peripheral, and it was kind of weird because I thought it was the snow, but it was way, way up, and it was just, like, it kept blinking. And so I don't know, but I do have a question for James. Okay, you mentioned really early on in the interview about somebody getting beamed with a light in their chest area.
Yeah.
Well, I had a dream about a month ago, and I've never, ever, ever had any dreams about any UFOs or any type of alien type of dreams. And I just found that it was vivid, it was real, but it was me and a bunch of people, and we were underneath this UFO, and it was hovering, and I was watching everybody line up to go position themselves under some sort of area for them to get beamed, and this light just went right in the chest and it would bring them to their knees.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it was my turn to, like, get this beam of light in my chest, I had felt this, like, telepathic message. I didn't hear words, but it was telepathic, and it was just like, we don't need to give it to you. You already have it inside you. Mm-hmm. And I was just baffled. I just wanted to know if you have anything to say about that, what you think that is.
Well, you know, I actually got beamed in the chest myself, and three golden balls of energy came down, and it left a burn mark on my chest.
Oh, my gosh.
But Brooks Agnew, Dr. Agnew also was here, and he had a very similar experience, and they're completely life-changing.
Wow.
And there's an incredible transference of consciousness and energy, and after the experience, I had full memory of much of my past, you know, past lives, and some of them weren't even on this planet. And so, you know, it completely changed my life when I had the experience.
What do you think that's saying when I dream it, but I didn't have the physical experience like you? Because I've never even heard of that.
You know, it could be a recall, like a past recall. It could be an interdimensional experience where you went out of body and had an experience. There's many, many different ways that could have unfolded.
Wow. Okay, cool. Thank you.
No, thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Tracy, and take care. I believe from San Francisco, California, it's Angela. Hi.
Thank you, and many, many blessings, much love to Art and James and everyone out there.
Thank you.
I wanted to ask James to please clarify what he means by plasma and plasma ships. I'll give a little bit of background. Back in 2003, I saw the astronauts on the Columbia ship, either in a dream or some type of out-of-body experience. And they were watching something. When I woke up, that's when I heard about the explosion and the loss. So I've been trying to figure that out ever since. And I'd like to hear James' thoughts on plasma and if that was at all connected or what he thinks happened to those astronauts in Columbia.
I don't think it had a connection with the plasma ships because they're extremely benevolent beings. They're some of them that are on these golden ships come from Orion. It's like an Orion Council of Light, and J.J. Hertak talks quite a bit about those. They're in the Bible as well. They talk about the Orion and Pleiades system. So, you know, going back to one of the other callers, you know, they assume that we're not connected, you know, to God or Jesus or the other masters, but it's all connected, and we need to drop this division, you know, and start thinking in unity consciousness, not this polarity consciousness that we're working under. But, you know, I really don't see any connection other than some faulty equipment, you know, with the shuttle and possibly, you know, who knows, something else might have happened on that. But I know one thing is that one of the shuttles was taking up a secret military payload. And, you know, that's kind of a no-no, you know, in space. So so something could have happened there. You know, I'm
something
not sure exactly what happened.
All right. Mary in New York City, you're on with James.
Oh, hi. Thank you. Hi, Art, James, and thank you for another great show. I think we can all remember the first time we heard your show because that's the last time any of us got any good sleep. But,
Thank you.
I got a quick kind of, I guess, UFO sighting and then two questions if I can.
Okay.
This was during the afternoon, and I was on the Long Island Railroad kind of coming in from Queens into Penn Station, so kind of hovering over Northwest Queens. There were two very unusual clouds. Now, they weren't like any other, you know, amorphous, you know, clouds. They were shaped like if you looked at the side of a Snickers bar, you know, kind of long rectangle, and there was kind of one above the other. And they were very unusual coloration, like pinkish, brownish. And suddenly the top one just disappeared. Mm. It, within like 3 seconds, it faded to nothing. And, hello?
Yes, we're listening.
I don't know if you're still with me. Yeah, it was just very unusual because within a matter of a couple of seconds, the top one just disappeared.
Yeah, there have been a lot of cloud type sightings that are pretty weird, and I've seen some pretty strange clouds myself. You had a couple of questions?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, quickly, if these aliens are, you know, so benevolent, and if they're able to intervene and, you know, you think they would prevent a nuclear exchange, why have they let so many nuclear experiments go on so that, you know, these missile silos are even developed, you know, if they can intervene to dismantle them? Why do they even let the test and that kind of thing go on in the first place? And, you know, I'm kind of lost in that train of thought. If there's a benevolent
In other words, why let it get this far? They've had lots of years to intervene.
I think the main thing is that they can't interfere with our evolutionary process, and there are certain places where they can intervene to help us to continue to evolve. But some of the things we have to gain the wisdom through experience, they can't come in and just do everything for us. We have to clean up our consciousness and learn from some of the mistakes we make. So it's a very fine line on how much, you know, rope we can, you know, they're going to give us, because, you know, we're pretty much at the end of the rope right now, where we're very close to destroying our environment. We're very close to, moving into a nuclear war. Things are a mess down here, and we've pushed it to the limit. So I think that's why they're coming right now, because we've just pretty much hit the limit of how far we can go.
All right. First time caller line, Joe in Florida.
Hi, Art. Hi, James. Great show. Long time listener. I got a quick story. When I was 9 years old, I was residing in St. Clair Shores, Michigan. And my mother called me home from my friend's house, and it was about 5-6 in the evening. And as I was walking in the front of the house, I heard a humming noise, a deep, low hum.
Mm-hmm.
I did circles and looked around and didn't see anything. And I decided to look up, and there was a metallic craft hovering over me about 60 to 75 feet. And I looked up, and there was two beings looking at me through the windows. There was two windows, and it was all yellow light in the background. And the beings, I couldn't make out any facial features, but they were just all black. And the heads were larger, like the gray, sort of. And then another being came in the window, and they exchanged something in their hands, and they all three looked at me at once.
Joe, I hate to do it to you, but our program is over. I have to go. James, I want to thank you for being here. Address the audience very quickly. We'll do another show soon, but this will be quite a night, James, I guarantee.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on.
Good night, my friend. And listen, everybody, let's do it again right now. As the program ends, remember a good time in your life, a joyous time in your life, and then attach to it a very strong intent for them to show themselves in our skies. Can't say we didn't try. Let's give it a really good shot right now. Good night.